Now, Pullman lacks Rowling's light touch, and he's far more didactic than Le Guin, but he at least continues in the tradition of moral seriousness that's characterized fantasy, and particularly children's fantasy. Even though he disagrees with everything Lewis would say, and he goes a little bit over the top of calling Lewis a racist and a sexist and other things, I think. Pullman does a very good job maintaining the idea that fantasy has to deal with the big questions of existence, possibly because modernism has failed to deal with those questions very well. Again, modernism deals with human relationships, but it doesn't deal very well with the question of why are we here? What should we look forward to? What should our morality be? You may not agree with Pullman if you're much more of a Lewis or Tolkien person who reads fantasy, but you should read Pullman to see how these same sorts of questions should be challenged and should be examined and can be examined through fantasy. It's a serious mistake to see children's fantasy or even adult fantasy as simplistic or unsophisticated. It's very sophisticated. It's just about different things than mainstream literature. And in fact, we'll see this very clearly when we move on to the Arthurian materials in the next lecture. Arthurian materials have a long tradition of being taken seriously as literature. And Arthurian fantasy in the modern era, which is what we'll examine, manages to examine issues of romance, of male-female relationships, of people caught in a net of fate, at the same time that they're also fantasy literature.
After listening to Lecture 12, a student posed this question to Professor Drought. Is fantasy supposed to reinforce traditional values? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Fantasy, particularly children's fantasy, is often seen as something that can reinforce values. In fact, this is a standard take on children's literature, is that you have your children read certain literature to reinforce your values. I think that's actually a very problematic distinction to make, because literature is never stable that way. You can't really pin it down. I mean, does Tolkien reinforce traditional values? Some of them, but he's also, you know, a possible eco-critic and about preserving the environment, and that could be a traditional value or a not traditional value. I think critics like Philip Pullman, when he's being a critic rather than a writer, and try to really go at Lewis and Tolkien and say, I want to be anti-Christian, are missing the point that the real point of fantasy literature, if it provides escape and recovery and consolation, is not just to reinforce some kind of moral values, but to take people to a new place where they're going to construct their own values in some ways against what the writer's trying to force them into. I think this is really clear with Ursula Le Guin, who really desperately wanted to write a Buddhist or Taoist fantasy, and in my view, completely fails at that for the first three books until she finally figures out how to get it all to work. You don't have to know anything about Buddhism or Taoism, and it fits perfectly well with the Western Judeo-Christian tradition in Ursula Le Guin. I think likewise, Philip Pullman would like to write something that's anti-Christian, but it's very hard to do as much as he tries to go against Christian doctrine, because really, all religions are supporting things like be good to other people, be respectful, and you're not going to anti that. You can't write a complete anti-culture or counterculture, even in fantasy, even with dwarves and elves and witches. Even when you try to do something like John Gardner's Grendel, which is hard to say whether that's fantasy or not, right? From the point of view of the monster, he makes the monster into a person. It's no longer a monster. It's a person who's been mistreated. And I think that's the great power of literature. Iris Murdoch says the purpose of literature is to show that other people exist. What does that really mean? It means that as soon as you put a character into a piece of literature, people treat that character as if it's a real person, whatever it is, whether it's a dark lord or a talking mushroom or a centaur or a faun. And I think that that power of literature is what keeps literature from being just propaganda for any side.
This ends Lecture 12.